Hi everyone, it's Eli. You know how sometimes you stumble upon something truly game-changing in healthcare? Well, I found it. Kinetisense. This cutting-edge motion capture technology is transforming movement, assessment, and recovery. Imagine getting instant AI-driven insights without any wearables on your patient. That's right, no ping pong balls needed. Just pure, accurate data. Perfect for boosting athletic performance, pinpointing imbalances, and refining rehab. Top professionals worldwide trust Kinetisense to maximize productivity and results. Check out our partner page to learn more. Experience the revolution in movement. Welcome to Wrap It Up Sports Medicine and More, the podcast that gives you a viewpoint in sports medicine that can't be found anywhere else. I'm your host, Eli Halleck, and we have a fantastic show ahead of us today. So let's get started. Welcome to Wrap It Up Sports Medicine and More. Today, we have a roundtable about a real hot topic, pun intended, with the state of California. We've got some new guidelines in place that many of us are struggling to figure out, and we're hoping to help you understand them today. I'm your host, as always, Eli Halleck. Today we have Cindy Kramer. Hey, Cindy, how you doing?
Good, Eli. How about you?
I'm good, thank you. Tim Masicki from downtown LA. How you doing, Tim?
What's up, people?
We also have from the CATA and a fantastic high school, our friend Bree Millard.
Thanks for having me again.
And first time guest from NorCal, Sonoma area. I love that area. I love real NorCalifornia. We have Sarah Goble. How are you doing, Sarah?
Oh, it's Goble, but Goble! I'm happy to be here.
Oh, I blew it already.
I'm not a turkey.
You're not a turkey?
Not a turkey.
I've been called worse, so Goble it is. I'm sorry. My bad.
It's okay.
So Sarah is joining us today. Thank you for being part of this. Everybody here except Sarah has been a guest. So Sarah, if you could tell us a little bit about yourself real quick and we'll get started.
Happy to do so. So like you said, I'm up in Sonoma County at Sonoma Academy, but I hail from the great state of Indiana. But I've been in California now almost 15 years. So in 13 of those working in a secondary school setting. Used to be the former chair of our secondary schools committee for CATA, and now I'm incoming secretary because I guess I'm a glutton for punishment.
That's a good way to describe those positions. Yes, been up there and glutton for punishment. Bree's laughing and pretty much. I didn't know you had changed over from secondary schools to secretary. Congratulations. Mm-hmm. Or condolences, depending on how you look at it. So let's get started. I'm going to talk real quick about the guidelines, just for those of us, those two or three athletic trainers that are actually listening to this podcast. If they don't know, we did have a change thanks to Assembly Bill 1653, which actually went into Education Code 35179.4 and added to Section 35179.8 of California Education Code, and it took effect in July 1st, right, of this year, July 1st, 2024. Basically, this is something that many of us down here in SoCal dealt with a lot. I know Cindy, Tim, and I would talk all the time because we're in pretty hot places, and we would be concerned about the heat index as it used to be. But what they did is created, or not created, they started to utilize, in conjunction, when I say they, California Interscholastic Federation, CIF, together with the California Department of Public Health, and got a congressman to put a bill together and created the heat guidelines using the wet bulb globe temperature gauge. For those of you who don't know, that is a measurement of heat stress on a human body caused by direct sunlight. It takes into account several atmospheric factors, including temperature, humidity, wind speed, sun angle, and cloud cover. It's a lot different than what we used to use, which was just heat and humidity for those of us that used the heat index for the last 15 years or so. It does take a little more equipment in some cases and a little more running around unless you have something called periweather. So Sarah, maybe we'll start with you. Can you tell us anything you know about maybe how this process started and how the ball got rolling to get the wet bulb globe temperature kind of there?
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of making an assumption on this, but in 2022 and 2023, we teamed up CATA with Corey Finger Institute and their Tufts initiative. So Team Up for Sports Safety. So it focuses on increasing safety policies for secondary school athletes. And I think we've all heard the ranking system and how California comes in dead last for protecting high school athletes. So through those two meetings, we really discussed, you know, what policies are low-hanging fruit that CIF could install and put in for schools to start following to kind of increase that safety for our high school athletes. So I think that's where this came from. I mean, it's pretty, a lot of the stuff, if you go to KSI's website, is very similar to what they have out there. So it's not like CIF had to reinvent the wheel. They just had to come to a conclusion. And then I think we're all pretty familiar with CIF and how it works. And sometimes their guidelines, we need the law in place in order for all schools to abide by it. It can't just be a CIF suggestion, because then it's if your section imposes it or not, or they say, yeah, you should, but we're not going to enforce it. So I think that's, we learned that a lot in those Tufts meetings, that really to get things done for our high school athletes in California, we kind of need the laws with the way that we're set up with a federation and not an association like most states.
Thank you. So obviously there were a few initiatives that were brought that the CATA really worked with. We're just going to be focusing on this one. The update, of course, to the concussion policies and the air quality initiative that they did. And we'll talk about those two in a different session. So one of the things that we've been discussing over the years, and this is Cindy, I'll go to you first. This has always been something near and dear to several of us, because especially living in Southern California, where it's, let's face it, hot and dry. You know, we're not humid like back east, Florida, Georgia, Bama, anything like that. We're hot. We're damn hot, but we're not as humid usually. So Cindy, if we go back in time, how often do you think you, myself, Tim, and others have discussed this? And this has been kind of on our mind and definitely a concern.
Oh, I would say it's been at least 3 years. We always seem to talk about it as the fall sports kick up. So July-ish, you know, we're looking at. And so I know we've always had the NATA guidelines for heat and have followed them, always being the bearer of wonderful news to our coaches saying, hey, you can't do this today, or if you'd like to do all of this today, you need to move your time, that kind of thing. But we've discussed it for a while and talk often enough that, you know, we know that Tim gets more of the coastal temperatures than you and I do. Being in the valleys, we're separated by mountains between downtown and where we are in our valleys. And so we are much more desert-like, where we might have a cool morning and it heats up. And, you know, I can say, you know, can I bring in today's example?
Yeah, go ahead. Of course.
We started practice this morning in full pads for football at 7 a.m. and our wet bulb temperature was 72.4.
Now, for those of you who don't know, at 72.4, right now, there are also three categories. That would put Cindy in the green area for where their category is right now, which is, hey, thumbs up, go for it, have fun.
Right. So by 8:37, I had a reading of 86.9. So an hour and a half later, I'm in the black. And it's supposed to be nothing. You know, we're not supposed to be outdoors.
Right. At that point, when Cindy says black, again, for our two listeners out there, the new guidelines state if you're in the black, no outdoor training, delay training until cooler, or cancel training altogether, basically.
So the only caveat is, and I know this will come up, if it does, the guidelines say that if we start in a zone and we move up in categories, and our categories go green, yellow, orange, red, black, each one being more restrictive, that we just have to make modifications. My modifications were the helmets came off. Fortunately, we only had 10 more minutes of practice before they were coming off the field anyway, and most of the players were standing around watching special teams where we were just kicking extra points and field goals. So there wasn't really any intense going. Obviously, we have plenty of water available. We had, if for some reason there was heat exhaustion or heat incidents, you know, we were prepared for that as well. But it seems kind of silly that at 8:30, we're going to a point where we can't practice outside. So that's my frustration right now, is we've moved practices to different times, and yet we're still getting hit
with how hot it is. One thing, maybe Bree, how familiar are you with the categories
in terms of the zones or the actual category one, two, three?
Oh, category one, two, three. I don't want to throw anybody into the mix that doesn't know them. I've got them right here, so
got a sheet right here too. We actually made laminated ones for all of our coaches. Even though everything's going to be communicated through text, just, you know, I'm still going to tell them what color we're in and what that means we're allowed to do. But basically, you have category one, two, and three. One would be like the most restrictive in terms of the zones. So then the zones break down, like we said earlier, to the green, yellow, orange, red, and black.
Now, the categories, that's what your school is placed in, though. So, for example, we'll go Sonoma. They're going to be probably a little cooler. I didn't check. Are you guys, category one?
Yeah, we're category one. From where I am now, 45 minutes to the coast.
Okay.
So, relatively close.
Okay. Now, when
we're category one.
45 minutes. Now, hold on. In LA, that could be a mile. How many miles is...
That's no traffic.
Okay, so...
No traffic. I couldn't... Once again, from Indiana, I can just give you times. But yeah, no, that would be no traffic getting out to my favorite spot on the coast, 45 minutes from here.
Okay, cool. So, which That's good to know. All right, so now go ahead, Bree. Sorry to make sure everybody understood.
Yeah, I was just going to say that the categories, obviously, there's a map that is provided. And although we are on a podcast and cannot physically show it, there's different parts of California that are put in these different categories, one, two, three, based on your location. But we all know that those of us who are all considered in category one can span anywhere from, like Sarah said, who's, you know, there's areas that are 45 minutes from the coast, and someone like me, who's a mile and a half from the coast, are put into this same category. So there's a very big spread in terms of the individual microclimates as well.
That seems like that could be an issue too. Because I know if, for example, I'm familiar with Sonoma State. So Sarah, I'm not sure where Sonoma Academy is.
15 minutes drive, probably not too far. So they're just right down the road. They're in Rona Park and we're Santa Rosa. So a city apart. Yeah.
Okay.
So pretty close. And I went on my map. So we're 26 miles from the coast.
Okay. Yeah. And I know Windsor, I know Hillsborough, which is above you guys. I love that. When I hit right about there, that's where I get happy, you know, driving.
Yeah, that's where I live in Windsor. So
I love that area. Get up to Geysersville and Cloverdale. Actually, I really get happy when I get up above Ukiah in the Redwoods. That's when I'm at
And Anderson Valley.
Yeah, yeah. Just keep going. Keep going. I like going up the 101. They've all heard this. I went to Humboldt State, and nothing makes me happier than being in the Avenue of the Giants, the Redwoods, and getting up there. And I love how just the weather up there is fantastic. But anyway, digress. Yeah. Sorry. Back. One thing that could be frustrating, and Bree brought that up, is the microclimates down here. And I'm not as familiar with the microclimates in the Sonoma and Santa Rosa area. I'm much more northbound, so up in the Humboldt area and down here in LA.
Yeah, so we kind of, like, my comparison to that would be like with us in San Francisco. So if we look at today, my assumption, so I know our temps, we're supposed to get up to 97 here today. We haven't started athletics, so it's not as much on my radar yet. But my guess is if I look at San Francisco, what their weather is, which is an hour from here, and that's with an hour without traffic, their high today is 71, but we're in the same category.
Or out of all of us, Sarah first, have you been using a wet bulb globe thermometer only for a while?
Yes. I can't remember when it was. I think it was 2 or 3 years ago that CIF had a grant and was giving them out for free. And so I snagged one then. Before that, we weren't really, but we didn't. It seemed like we'd never really ran into a ton of heat issues. Even I was in Napa at the time, and we'd get a hot day here or there, but right. The beauty of Napa is we get this nice, beautiful breeze by 3 o'clock with the different change climate coming in. Usually that means the fog's rolling into San Francisco. We're getting the wind, cold breeze off of that, and it just drops our temps. So since then, I've been using it and then moved over to Sonoma Academy last year, and that was immediately on my order list to get one because it's a little bit warmer here. We're up on a mountain with an open field, you know, a little bit higher. So it tends to get a little bit warmer up on campus than down below. So
okay, then going back over to Bree now and talking about those categories. Category one, generally a little bit cooler in theory. What would the next couple categories, do we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, or what are we dealing with right now?
As of right now, it's just the 1, 2, 3.
Okay,
with 3 being what we would consider the more hotter climates, like I would, in my opinion, say like the desert type areas. But as someone who actually grew up in the San Fernando Valley, where your 3 or where your 2 schools are and the high school I went to was, we can easily get into those, that category 3.
Yeah.
No problem. So this is where the interesting conversation is coming up with a lot of us, is that those temperatures, those kids are kind of used to, we're kind of used to in that San Fernando Valley area, but you guys, as well as my location, are put in the same category, which is a huge spread. There was an example that was given in a seminar that a couple of us were a part of about a week or two ago with the County Department of Public Health. And they talked about, I want to say it was up in the San Francisco area, where they talked about maybe like 10 to 15 different schools within anywhere from a 5 to 10 mile radius that could have a 30 degree temperature difference. And they were all considered the same category 1, yeah, for example. So
that would probably
degrees,
be
where would that be?
I was gonna say that would probably be San Francisco County, Marin County, Napa County, Sonoma County. The 4 of us, I mean, you've got a huge range of temperature variance just in that area. And then you add Oakland into that as well, going right across the bay from San Francisco. I mean, it's probably 70 in San Francisco today, but over 90 in Oakland, and they are literally just across the bridge.
So it's almost similar to kind of like Cindy, myself, and Tim. Cindy, I mean, definitely San Fernando Valley, and Bree knows this because she grew up there. So did I. Hot. I mean, period. That it's desert. Without that, I've been joking about it. Without the aqueduct, we only see cactus around our neighborhood. If you know, thank God for the California aqueduct. I'm over in San Gabriel Valley for work. It's not as hot, but still warm, still hot, gets up there. But we're nowhere near as bad as, say, Notre Dame down in the valley, right in the basin, really hot. And then we get Tim. Tim hasn't chimed in yet. He's a little busy driving home, so don't take your eyes off the road.
I'm listening. I'm just waiting.
So
I'm waiting for my opportunity.
And your setup's a little bit different, probably a little closer, kind of in between San Francisco and what Sarah's discussing. So if you can talk about your setup and what the weather's like at your location, because then we can really see the difference geographically just in the Southern California area.
This is going to be really easy. Cindy, what were you yesterday at Notre Dame?
Wet bulb or air tech?
What zone were you in most of the day?
Black. We were in red.
Loyola never got 30. Loyola barely scratched orange. And yet we're category 1 together. So we were able to practice, you know, yeah, they, you know, had their water and stuff, but Cindy couldn't practice because we're both in the same category. And today is going to be the same thing. Although I'm heading home, but we're done with practice today. We only had 1 today.
Which is nice, so being able to practice early. And I would say probably my guess, What are you guys with the hill? If you were able to take a straight line, which if anybody lives in Southern California, they know that's not possible, from Notre Dame High School to Loyola High School downtown, what is that, 15 miles?
Well, it's 10 miles by car. As a crow flies, it's probably 5 miles as a crow flies.
So the first time I heard that comment, as the crow flies, was probably about 5-6 years ago. My wife said it, and I looked at her and went, "What the hell did you just say?"
Oh my!
And
goodness.
She looked at me as the crow flies.
I'm from Southern Indiana. I'm pretty sure I said that when I was like 2.
Okay.
I know, me too. I grew up in the Midwest too. So
I'm looking at her. Who the hell cares how a crow flies? What do you mean as the crow flies? She's like, you know, straight line. I'm like, well, what?
I mean, I'm passing Notre Dame right now on the way home. So
I'm waving. Hey.
What, out of curiosity, what's the temp on the car right now?
100.
100. Oof. Oof. Oh, let me look. What is St. Francis High School at right now?
Do you have our other local school? Do you have their Perry weather?
I have to do it on my laptop. I mean, I got to change after
driving.
This.
And let's not
Never
do
mind.
That. Yeah.
Actually, I was locked into St. Francis last weekend. Now I'm
Were
back to
really?
Harvard Wesley.
I've got to
figure
out
weird
how to
it,
do that.
It pops between the two of you. It's hilarious. Let's
see. Currently at St. Francis High School, absolutely no activity, which is good. If there is, I'll be mad. We're at 94 air degrees, so temp, and we are at 85.4 wet bulb globe, which puts us in
red.
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 Red. Okay.
Well, then I'm going to chime in, being that we're all category one here in Carlsbad, we're at 74, which I like to use the line that Tim always said to our football players, 73 degrees and ocean breeze. Typically what we get.
Someone texted here. That this morning.
Oh, very nice.
It was you.
I think I texted that out this morning to some people.
Yes, you did.
Now, what systems?
I want to add mine.
Please. I was just going to ask you, actually. What are you guys at?
We're 85 right now. We're supposed to get up to 92. Talking about close away, you know, Windsor, the distance from Santa Rosa to Windsor. We're talking 15-minute, super close. Windsor's supposed to get up to 97 today, whereas Santa Rosa, 92. So, and those cities knock right next to each other, and there's not really much change.
Yep.
I guess Santa Rosa must scoot a little bit closer to the coast, but yeah. So there's, I mean, just with two cities next door. I think my question is, you know, with the categories, I'm pretty sure they're, is it like kind of like a nationally set for the categories? So it's not that California just decided these are our categories. Like we're only doing categories 1, 2, 3.
That's a great question. And I know a few of us have discussed it. I was actually doing a little research last night trying to figure that out. I think we've all figured out that this is based on a study out of Georgia. And Georgia's a little bit different climate and a little bit different topography as instead of California. What I'm seeing, and this has been basically true wherever I'm finding these heat guidelines, they just took them and popped them in place. You know, and it sounds like, and obviously this isn't you, this isn't me, this isn't Cindy, Bree, Tim. They just went, hey, great study here. Good information. Why reinvent the wheel? Let's use what we got. I came up with USA Soccer actually uses this exact guideline. And there is absolutely no difference. I was a little surprised when I found that. Mm-hmm. And there is just one big map. You can find it on KSI. You can find it now on the state CIF website, a link to it. In the stuff, there is just a map and it has all these lift. Now I'm slightly colorblind, so I'm going to say this color and it's going to be the wrong color. It's a grayish and bluish, I'll stick with that, coloring of the entire nation. And it's just kind of like splats. There you are. I would be curious. I know at the state level, they're getting a lot of pushback right now. Thank God I don't work at the CIF state level. That people are starting to wonder, well, what puts who in a category and why? And because of topography. Using what Sarah just said, the difference in knowing where you are versus Windsor, there's not much of a difference. I mean, it's a little bit of a windy 101 freeway. It's a nice little drive, but topography wise, it's just a little channel valley, really. Mm-hmm. And I wonder why they're in the same category.
So can I chime in on that one a little bit?
Go for it, please. Somebody chime in. Stop me from talking.
A little background. One of our colleagues out here in San Diego reached out to CIF State and spoke with Brian Seymour, who has been tasked with all of this development. And basically the categories from like 99 to 2005, they did it based on larger airport heat reports. The example was, we know that San Diego International is about an hour south from a Poway Unified High School. That's a huge difference to measure. So then they went from 2005 to currently and then looked at regional airports. So for me, for example, we have Palomar Airport maybe within 3 miles of my high school, but supposedly they found no statistical difference between the larger international airports and the regional airports. So they kind of kept these categories based on those larger
interesting
airports. Yeah. And then that's when you and I have had the conversation about, you can have this climate of San Diego, for example, where I'm at, but know that we have much smaller microclimates. There's days where it is overcast and 70 degrees here in Carlsbad, and I'm 6 miles away inland Oceanside, and it's 85 degrees and sunny with no wind. 6 mile difference can be already a 15 degree difference in temperature, let alone my colleagues who are 45 minutes away in, let's say, Escondido, who at 6 p.m. were still in the black.
Yep, totally.
When are they supposed to practice? At midnight? If they're considered a category one like us? And that change, you know, we already talked about schedules and everything changing all the time for things. Well, if we want to accommodate these teams being able to practice, now we got to change all these practice times, and there changes logistics and things. That's going to change our hours on top of it, which no one wants to deal with.
And also, one thing everybody forgets, they got this little thing called education they got to deal with, right?
Oh, yeah.
So they got to go to school. Yeah.
And then you also add in, I don't know your guys' section rules, but for North Coast with football, they have to have 10 days in pads before they can play in a game. So we are already on a crunch with only 11 days before the first scrimmage.
That's a great point. So, you lose a day to black and you're in trouble.
Yeah.
Oh, I hadn't even thought about that.
If you're like us and you don't practice till 4 o'clock and it's in the black and I have to push it back, how much further can I push it back to where we get a practice? We might just have to cancel it. You know, at least, you know, I know obviously, Cindy, you said it was already in the black by like 8:30. There is the potential to maybe work with some room of saying, yeah, let's do a night practice. But that changes everyone's schedules, from, you know, the coaches to the athletic trainers, to the parents, to the kids. Not everyone can accommodate that within a couple hours of a change.
Well, and here's the thing. Right now we're out of school, right? At least most of us, we haven't started classes yet, but they're starting within a week and a half. Even though we're a private school, a lot of our kids are bused in and the parents are paying for the busing. So if we change practice to the morning, are those kids just going to have to miss practice because the bus isn't going to get there in time? Or are the parents going to have to drive them and now they're losing the money they paid for their child to have busing? Same thing on the other end. If we push practice tonight, our last bus leaves at 6:15. If we start practice at 6, are we telling kids they can't participate because they can't get a ride home? Are we telling parents, hey, you're wasting your money? You know, we're going to waste your money because we got to change time. I just think the logistics. And if it's a public school, are the public schools going to add buses for early?
We don't even have buses in our district. A lot of the districts out here don't. So it's the same problem of depending on a parent. And Cindy, you hit a good point. If these kids aren't going to come to practice, not only is that an exclusion issue, but those same kids, how are coaches keeping track of the kids that haven't done their 10-day practices yet?
That's a great point. Just like Sarah said, that goes back to not being able to practice, not getting your time in, and not being able to, well, you may have to miss your first game or even two, depending on how many in black. I was under the assumption, and that's my bad for assuming, way back when we were starting to hear the unveiling of this, that most of us in SoCal thought, okay, category two at lowest or highest, depending on how you look at it. Category three, definitely in the Valley. San Fernando Valley, that was to me mentally, that was a shoo-in.
And see, I would be good with category two in our area. There would still be some adjustments, but there would be less. And I think, Eli, you brought the point in really well, is that our kids are used to this climate. They're acclimated to it. It's not that we don't want them to be safe. It's not that we want to have practice and put our kids in harm's way.
Oh, God, no. Nobody on this panel ever would want to do that. Yeah.
I think that's the most important thing. I think the policy in its essence is fine, putting guidelines down on that. But you can't put everybody in the same category and assume it's going to work.
And I think Sarah brought up a great point with the town of Windsor versus where she's at, just how close. I mean, I know we've been trying to figure it out and talking categories and figuring out categories. And one of you mentioned Brian Seymour. Was that Sarah? Mm-hmm. Was that Bree?
Bree.
Okay. And he is the Associate Executive Director of CIF State. And he is a person, as you said, that is tasked with this. I don't think you could pay me enough to be in his position right now, because this really seems like it's causing some headaches for people in our position, because all we want to do is protect the kids, the young men, young women in sport. But trying to work within these guidelines at some schools are easy versus others. Elevate your knowledge, ignite your curiosity, and compete with the best minds at events hosted by the American Academic Competition Institute. AACI's sports medicine competitions feature practical exercises, challenging quizzes, specialty tests, and keynote speakers that foster knowledge and social engagement in healthcare and sports medicine. Go to AACITest.org for more information on upcoming regional and national competitions. Sign up for the Ultimate Intellectual Showdown. Sarah, have you guys up there had any... Well, you said athletics really hasn't kicked in yet that much?
No, so I'm in a unique scenario in school, so I don't even have football. Overall, last year, I think I had to pull out the WBGT 1 week in our fall, and that was it. We had a pretty mild fall. Temperatures rarely got up above 90 by the time we were practicing. So it wasn't a huge impact. I think being in category one for us up here is probably pretty accurate. I think we could flirt with category two in some instances, but it's not like for our school, it won't really impact us that much. We also have athletic department coaches and parents who err on the side of caution more than not, and will just immediately adjust things. Like volleyball typically doesn't go till later in here. So soccer might put on tennis shoes and go in the gym and do some, we have boy soccer in the fall still here. So they might go in the gym, put with tennis shoes, do some passing dribbling drills. They can still get a workout in. Cross country might go into the weight room, body weight stuff. Couple kids hop on a treadmill or two. It's not a huge impact. When I was over in Napa, we had a little bit more because we had football. So you have the equipment consideration there. It gets hotter over in Napa than it does in Santa Rosa, being in that valley. Similar kind of thing. We'd move practices to the morning. We typically start off foggy and cold in the morning so we can get things done and not at an ungodly hour either. And, and it was just a lot of heads up to coaches and making those adjustments. And maybe it was because we'd been doing it for a long time. I think as ATs, we can really game plan. It's going to be a lot more stress on us. We can typically navigate this and figure something out. I think that's part of having an athletic trainer on board. I think with this new policy, where I worry about is the schools that don't have an us. Totally. And what they're doing and if they're actually following it and how they're coming to those decisions and those aspects of things. But I also know schools that still have of us. I think we have a Facebook group for California high school ATs, and someone posted in there this week the struggles they were having with their football coach, who is also their athletic director, not wanting to follow the guidelines and making the adjustments. And so when you don't have that administrative support to put your brain thoughts into work, it makes it tough. And it's going to be an adjustment period for a lot of our schools in adjusting to this. But I also agree that looking at these categories, like I said, I don't know California as well as demographically and temperature wise, but the more I sit here and listen, and think about our own area, it I think we need to go knock on KSI's door and welcome them to do a study in our state on temperatures and what might be appropriate categories. How do we break us up? I'm talking to you, Christy Eason, out there. I'm going to send you this podcast.
Oh, please, please. Yeah, and I would love to talk to her about it because, I mean, I know SoCal very well, born and raised here, grew to love Northern California, especially the coastline. So I know, like I said, a lot Sonoma up. But Tim, just a second ago, looked like he wanted to jump in and say something. So please go ahead, buddy.
I think the big thing right now is that the data is somewhat flawed as far as categories are concerned. People who live in LA, you could be in Malibu, where it's a nice 70 degrees with an ocean breeze, and literally go to Woodland Hills, where it's 100 degrees and just sweltering heat. And that is maybe 2 miles as a crow flies. Because once you drive through the canyon,
I looked that up. It's a little more than 2 miles. It's 8.
Okay.
But still, that ain't much if you think about it. That's much. Not much at all.
And then when they put LA Unified,
go ahead.
They put LA Unified all their schools into one category one, and that there's a lot of schools in San Fernando Valley, but even looking other schools, there's a school in Burbank that is category 2, and Burbank Unified is category 1. They're in the same spot.
Actually,
okay, there's a school in.
You gonna say it? My favorite one that we found.
Yeah, the one in Santa Clarita.
Santa Clarita, yeah, that's my favorite because I live out there. Hot as hell. We're pretty sure that we have a door to hell out here because it's so hot sometimes. But go ahead.
The school, high school, is category 1. Oh, no, this high school is category 2, which is fine. But across the street is a small private school, literally across the street, is category 1. We need to, you're right, knock on some people's doors and go, can you really kind of look at the data that I have already accumulated at Loyola? And Loyola, we're okay in category 1 somewhat because it does cool off. But I could, there's all kinds of, we're looking at the different categories and how is that school. Eli is a perfect, another one. He's category 1, and down the street, a couple miles, is a school that's category 2. Actually, in the same climate.
1.6 miles. I checked that out. As the crow flies, apparently. Yeah. So we'll stick with that.
I think I'm okay with the policy. I think it's great. You know, we're protecting kids. It's just now that we know that there's some flaws, we need to maybe adjust it. And I mean, my coaches, they can't talk back to me. So
you guys have touched on like two really big things. So number one, we keep saying data, right? Like we might have this data off of a study from Georgia, from our airports. And so another thing that Brian had recommended and that we're pushing here in our San Diego High School Athletic Trainers Association is collecting that data. Is we need to know the data of all the microclimates. My next step on the CATA level is, you know, reaching out to our secondary chair and trying to do the same thing where at least I've done it starting yesterday. And then two other colleagues had made their own Google Forms where they are tracking what their wet bulb temperature or what their reading is, where it was taken, what time it was taken, what zone it was. So we can see the difference between my high school and Carlsbad, category 1. Westview, which is another 45 minutes from me in the Poway Unified area, see what they are at the same time in category 1. So people can actually really see, the people higher up can see what these microclimates are and see this information. But, you know, data from Loyola and data from Carlsbad isn't enough to help with all of California. Mm-hmm. So as many people that we can get involved with tracking a reading, you know, or if you're lucky enough to have a system that'll track it for you, you know, I know Periweather, that's what you guys are using at Loyola, can track that for you. They need data and they really want to see that data. You know, the question, how much data do they want? How long do they want us to track it? How soon will they make the changes? That I can't answer, but we can't start with any of these changes that we know are vital until we start tracking some of this data.
Data is king. Now, Sarah, you were about to jump in a minute ago and say something. So,
It was just when you're bringing up the schools and locations, it reminded me of when working in Napa, we had really bad fires from 17 to 22.
I was worried.
We were smoking.
My favorite wines.
And so we dealt with a lot with air quality, more so it brought our temperatures down. But we dealt with the smoke. And so similar with football, you know, you run into that with one game a week. And if you don't get your practices in. So we actually, teams in Napa, were busing outside of Napa, just 15, 20 miles over to Fairfield. Because air was clear there. And they were able to, just over the east side of Napa Valley, they're able to get practices in. And so, but still, it goes back to what Bree talked about. It's a change. They luckily had a bus system, but it's a change in practice schedule, change in location, buses, and the cost that goes into that. But it was something at that time with what our kids were dealing with and losing their homes, to be able to get them back practicing and around their friends and teammates, the adjustments that we made with that. And I think about that with these schools that are, you know, where you can make that jump into a cooler climate. It's, you know, it's not going to be feasible for many, but it might be for some. If they're got a like a hot streak coming up for a week, if they can bounce to a different location that's 10 degrees cooler and drops them down a zone, you know, and making it work, just one of those options of the many. You know, I like where Bree's head at is with collecting this data. I worked with KSI recently on a study because I got to be in my bonnet to look up every high school in the state and if they had an AT and if that AT was certified.
That must have been
so fun. I like data and I like monotonous tasks like that. And so I have a huge spreadsheet with it's broken up by section, every high school in it, AT's name, AT's email, if that person's certified or not. I've had it, this will be my third year having it. Last year I went back through it, more lightly checking than I had done the first go around, but just trying to track our ATs. So then most when we've used it lately, is, you know, we get to section playoffs and state tournaments where we're going to schools we don't know. And so I've loved being able to help other ATs, and they're curious about a high school, can't find anything on their own. And I can tell them like, yes, no, this is what I have. Here's who I have. Here's the, you know, impersonator who thinks they're AT working there. So,
oh yeah, my favorite right there.
Yeah.
I know another place we found it, Tim pointed it out when we started using it a few years ago on home campus, so athleticclearance.com, CIF's website. If they have inputted correctly, you can also find the athletic trainers there. That was kind of nice. That came in handy a couple times in playoffs the last couple of years.
Yeah, I discovered each section has a website with a school directory. And you can sometimes find them there. So the AD fills out like a survey with the contact information for athletic director, other admin. And a lot of the schools will list their certified athletic trainer or their non-certified person there.
Always good to know.
I've made a push for CIF when they're doing that, if they could just add one extra box that says put in their VOC number, just so we have a verification of if that person's certified or not. Seems to me an easy step, but it is CIF. So when Bree brought up how long it would take them to change a policy, I had to laugh.
So, 10 years for one line, probably. Yeah.
I know the concussion update took at least a year.
Yeah. Go on back to Bree.
The other thing that you guys keep saying, right, is the athletic trainer, the certified athletic trainer. That's another thing that Brian started off this talk with 2 weeks ago, was that in order to implement this, the first thing you should be doing is making sure that all schools have, in quote, certified athletic trainers. So our schools are great that they've obviously hired us and wanting us to be a part of, you know, obviously protecting our athletes. Most of us has been tasked with the heat readings, but, you know, what about these schools, you know, that don't have a certified athletic trainer? You know, is the AD responsible for it? And even then, if you have multiple sports off campus, who's responsible for doing this and tracking those areas? So I think number one is, we obviously are trying to use this as a way to push getting all of us in our local secondary schools. It'd be great to have one in every school in California, but in a sense, it's almost like not fair that some schools have people like us to keep these athletes safe. And then you have the other ones that are like, all right, well, good luck, figure it out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally true. Tim, I know we've talked a little bit about this off and on. When we started talking about, okay, these new laws are coming into effect, what systems are we going to use? Because there are also different aspects of this, keeping data. So this data is going to help, but also keeping historical data. God forbid something happens to someone, we don't know it. Currently, and you know, we were discussing it, you and I both use Periwire. And the nice thing about that is it keeps track. Bree, I know we've discussed, you use Kestrel wet bulb flow thermometer, correct?
And I use that and the website.
Oh, yeah. We'll come back to that in just a minute, actually. There are a couple of things I want to come back to you. Sarah, what system are you guys using at Sonoma Academy?
I just have a Kestrel.
Kestrel.
So we're going to get a second one. We only have, in the fall, I only have one team that's offsite. So that'll cover, we'll have two, we'll cover both of us. And then in the spring, if we run into that issue, we have more teams offsite, but most of them are at a similar location offsite. So we'll stick with that kind of line. But your talk of Periwether and data and KSI has me thinking, how can we get KSI and Periwether to come together and help California?
That's a great idea. That wouldn't be a bad idea at all. Love mm-hmm. to, I think we know somebody on the screen that might have some connections at Periwether, seeing he just did a wonderful presentation with Periwether last week. Wasn't that right, Bree? Wasn't it wonderful?
It was fantastic.
Wow.
Did you like my lighting? Did you like the lighting I had?
We were talking about it earlier, actually.
Here's the thing, and Eli has alluded to the fact that we've already sent a letter off. We already got answers back, and Brian Seymour was one of them. They want the data. Here's the only catch. Where do we send it? And who is going to look at it? Because I can send them 6 months worth of data right now from Loyola.
That's how long I've had Periwether. Data right now. We have 5 years of stuff.
There's data. Cindy supposedly has a couple years of data. But who do we send it to? And right now, my fear is it's just going to fall on deaf ears. Because I've been doing this a real long time.
Yeah. I mean, Brian, yes, but I think we'd also have to go to SMAC, CIF SMACs, their Sports Medicine Advisory
Committee. Now, the state committee. Or the one behind the curtain that nobody knows who's really on it? That one or the one like behind, in Southern California?
The one behind the curtain.
Yeah, you like that.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Oh, no, I know exactly.
Wizard of Oz is coming out. You got to use that.
Yeah, no, it was brought up in our Tufts meeting. It was something I brought up. I tried as the chair of the secondary school committee, you know, to start to bridge that communication gap between CATA and the secondary school ATs and CIF, trying to get us information that only goes to ADs who sometimes get it to us, sometimes don't. Mm-hmm. I do know a couple of people on the Hidden SMAC and am happy to have those conversations. I know what was stated in that Tufts meeting from one of the members is that they have not put their information out there because they don't want to be inundated. They're essentially volunteers within CIF. So that was kind of their reasoning behind it. My voice was, you know, I'm not asking for a seat at the table to vote. It's more just to increase communication and so we can get things done. I agree with that statement and I brought it up before too.
Thank you. Tim and I feel that way. We know a couple people on that. We presume we know who the others are, but presume mm-hmm. away, right? You never know. Mm-hmm. I was told in an email that I received today that the best person to send the information to is Brian Seymour. But again, that is somebody's educated guess. And I think that might be a good question. Who do we reach out to? That's something that maybe a few of us will take upon ourselves and start sending some emails and ask, hey, who would coordinate something like this?
Well, that's where I love the idea of Corey Stringer. You know, they're abiding at the bit to help us in California. When they found out I had the data on ATs and high schools, they immediately wanted to work together and get a paper written up. They pulled in their own data from Atlas. They pulled in California data for schools for the free lunch programs. So we could tie in social determinants of health with it and income status in these schools. So they're willing to help and they can get their hands on a lot more. And they also have the resources to put that data to work. I got to kind of sit back while Christy did her thing, but then seeing the results, we got some cool things out of that. And I think if we can pull them in with Brian at CIF and work on this together, I think that's a great place to start to get going on it. And I mean, if you guys have the data down in Southern California, I'm sure there's some up here in Northern California or in Central Valley who are doing it as well.
Oh, I could only imagine. That was one of my thoughts. Tim and myself and a few others, actually Cindy, are on the Southern Section SMAC committee, which basically, hey, we get a free lunch and breakfast a couple of times a year and get to see each other, which is always fun. But it's made a difference in a few things. We sat there when we saw these categories and went, holy crap. My first comment, half my family is from the Central Valley. And I was thinking of my family and cousins and everybody up in Clovis, Fresno area going, when the hell are they going to play up there? It's that hot in the middle of the night. You know, just it would be very interesting to try and get some data based on California as opposed to Georgia. I think we're all right on that one. NC, maybe KSI, maybe CIF State with Brian, whoever else. I mean, what a hell of a master's thesis this could be, or even a doctoral doctoral thesis, yeah. Right? Yeah, having fun.
Yeah. I think it'd also be curious to know, you know, what Oregon and Washington are doing. I know when we first started having the fires in 17 and trying to learn about air quality index and how to get a good reading and where to go, Oregon and Washington were ahead of the game in that with their high schools. They already had policies and stated that they followed and used, and I use as a resource to build out my own before CIF. What year are we? 2024?
I think so, yeah.
You know, seven years later, we finally have a full air quality policy. So I've been lucky to work for schools that jump on board when I tell them to in regards to those things and athlete safety, but I'd be interested to know what those areas are doing in those states, because they vary just as much in Oregon, you know, with your coastal versus inland a little bit more and those different variants and how they handle this.
That's very true. I was actually on a phone call a couple hours after the initial one that Bree discussed, the one from a couple weeks ago. I was on a phone call with a colleague from Washington, and he knew something was up. He's like, what's bothering you, Eli? Like, the difference between Malibu and the San Fernando Valley, that's what's bothering me. And he paused. I said, it's kind of like the difference between Western Washington and Eastern Washington. And he knew exactly what I meant. So yeah, that's a great point. I wonder what the differences are up there. I know this is not the only state that uses this. As we said, USA Soccer uses this, and well, that's across the nation. But I wonder what other states are using it, how they've adapted it. Be interesting to find out.
I think it'd be interesting to see, like, a state, if we're going to talk like FWADA, you know, our Far West Association, what's Nevada doing, right? Obviously, they have their own dry, hot temperatures, and we talked about people being acclimated to those areas, but I'm sure there's still a difference of a school in Henderson versus a school in Summerlin. So I went to school there for 2 years, and there's definitely a difference of temperatures in those areas. So I'm curious to see if they're doing some sort of similar categories, or is everyone the same just because it's the desert? So yeah, it'd be really interesting to see what these other states are doing.
Something to think about. Thankfully, I'm just the podcast guy. I'm not the researcher. I like these ideas. These are great ideas.
Tim, throw another wrench in it too, though, all these great ideas we come up with and change. This is ultimately a law, which means we'd have to amend the law and go through that process, which if you've followed along with anything else in legislature, it's so much fun.
Now, here's the question.
Very quick, very quick.
Go for it.
No, I'm good.
So here's a question, and I pulled up the law earlier. I didn't see anywhere where it said these exact categories or these exact numbers.
Okay.
So I wonder if, and again, like you said, trying to read through some of that, I did not see exactly the numbers. And that's something that I know Tim spoke about and we discussed, because we have a couple of colleagues going, yeah, nobody's going to follow this. Nobody's going to follow this. Okay. There's this fancy word called liability. Just like you said, Sarah, it's the law.
Yeah.
You got to follow it.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you don't, and something happens, well.
You're playing a dangerous game. As I explained to many of my athletes and parents, is I really like what I do and I want to keep doing what I do.
So. I put it one step further. I like my house. I want to keep my house.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to do what I'm supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we're trying to change the law. I don't think the law is just says you have to have this policy. The problem is the growing pains that go with this policy that no one saw coming in the first place, which is,
yeah,
you know, that there is a lot more going on when the Southern Section alone has 600 schools that range from Malibu all the way out to the Arizona-California border.
Oof.
You can't, that's, it's a good not point. All the same.
That's a great,
you know,
point.
And so there's growing pains with anything that gets initiated, but those people that wrote this need to understand, oh, okay, we didn't look at some things, let's adjust some things, because like I said, I'm going to practice all week this week, because it's, even though it's 100 degrees at Loyola, it doesn't really get past orange. Cindy, Eli, you guys have fun.
Yeah, you know, thank you.
You're gonna have a lot of free time.
Yeah, I ran numbers using the I don't think I told you this. I ran numbers of the last 25 days using the appropriate category, because for the first few we didn't realize we were in category one. We thought we would be category two, category three. And using category one out of 25 days, 14 were in black, 5 in red, 6 in orange. I was like, holy moly.
Yeah, I think they're going to, I go back to thinking about football, and if they're going to stick with this, then they're going to have to allow teams to have equipment on earlier than what they do. And I'm not a huge proponent of that, but you're like, with these teams who are so, like, I feel like football is most impacted just especially because of their equipment and the rule that they have to be in equipment for so many days before playing in a game. You're punishing these kids. That's something outside of their control.
Well, you're creating another safety issue in the fact that these kids will not have all that practice time consistently, mm-hmm. and all that. So you're substituting one for another.
And you're going to have more injuries in games and in practices at that point. That's true. And mm-hmm. it could be a little nastier in the game sometimes.
But everyone's got to remember, this applies to all sports all year. This applies to water polo, soccer, track, cross country. This is everybody. Yeah, the football equipment is one thing. Although it's interesting, they never mention anything about lacrosse equipment. It's field hockey or football.
So, that's kind of funny. Although I will mention, my water polo coach was a little surprised. What do you mean we have to worry about the heat? We're in the water.
Yep.
Just started laughing.
After my water polo husband, said, well, yeah, because you get hot in the water. So,
hey, if you swim,
he brought
before,
it up.
You know.
He's like, there's times where like you can't cool off when you're in the water because your body temps up because you're physically active and the pool is at the pool temp and you're in the heat. So at least I had him on my side.
You're still sweating.
That was it.
That still makes it easier. Yeah. That's nice.
You actually dehydrate faster without even knowing it.
Yep.
So
mm-hmm.
very good. But wow, I mean, some great points. Yeah.
So, I mean, like I said, I think we just need to, be more, well, I mean, who do we send it to and make sure that the data is accurate and, you know, we don't really piss people off when we do this, but.
That's a good point. That's something I think we need to maybe next step. Oh, speaking of next step, I know, Bree, going back to you, you had found something online and you shot it to me yesterday. So some schools that have problems with wet bulb globes, or they didn't pull the trigger quick enough like Sarah did to get that early. There is a site, or let me shut up. You explain it.
So yeah, we were told, especially for some of the schools who weren't able to purchase their wet bulb, or maybe they're waiting on district funds, whatever the reason is, CIF still wants to make sure that you are still following the bylaw and the state law. So there is a website that they said that we can use. It's weather.gov/PSA/WBGT. And basically, it's better to use on a cell phone or a touchscreen computer, but it gives you a map. You have to like move it over to California, and then you can zoom in to your exact location, to the point where I can zoom it in to the Carlsbad High School football field. And not only does it show you the heat index, dew point, the month, the day, the latitude, longitude, it will give you the wet bulb globe temperature. So for schools who are still waiting on theirs, you still have a resource, and CIF has approved for you to still use it as a way of measuring. And so when we were talking about the data earlier, I am putting in whether I use the website or if I use my Kestrel. So for example, I use the website outside for football because the Bluetooth for the Kestrel doesn't reach my phone and I'm in my office, which is a dungeon. And then we put the Kestrel in the gym and my athletic director took pictures for me every hour for me to input for data. So,
well, that was nice of him or her. Yeah.
Right. Well, it's only because he's coaching freshman volleyball, so he was in there. Otherwise I'd be walking over or a student would have to be taking a picture for me to document this, but it's just nice to know that there is something that is a little more friendly to our crazy schedules, because my example with my administration was I've got 15 kids in my room and you need me to go out there and check it every hour. Like, there's just no way that that's going to happen. What if it's a day that I don't have students? And again, like we said earlier, what if there is no athletic trainer at that school? So it makes it a little easier for a coach even to go and use this website and figure out what zone they would be in during that time.
And again, for anybody that is not quick with a pen, I have that information for you. It is weather.gov. So www.weather.gov/ T as in Tom, S as in Sam, A as in Apple, / WBGT, wet bulb globe temp. So www.weather.gov/TSA/WBGT. Bree did send that to me yesterday and I jumped on. I was actually surprised my big fat fingers couldn't quite get it properly working. But when I used my pinky and my thumb, it seemed to work a little bit better. That was actually really accurate. That was surprising and easy to utilize on the phone. So that's a nice little adjunct. And with that, everybody, I would like to thank you. We've been on the air now, or we've been talking, I should say, for about an hour and 15 minutes, which is a lot longer than usual. And everybody except Tim at some point has to go back to work because, well, some of us work for a living. So I'm going to say thank you very
36
much.
Years.
36 years. 36 years. That's all we ever hear, Sarah, down here is 36 years.
Yeah. Wait a minute. I was there this morning. Okay.
Yeah.
I put in 6 hours.
And all I'm going to say is look at Bree laughing. She's like, how did I survive that?
Joe only worked 5 hours. I put in 6.
Such a rough life. I'm telling you, I'm at the wrong school. Jeez.
Well, that's obvious.
Yeah. See. Yeah. Anyway. So I wanted to thank everybody today. You guys were great. Really brought up some good ideas and comments. Hopefully the two athletic trainers listening can utilize this and push forward. I got a couple friends in San Diego now that I might have to talk to. And Sarah, we're going to have to probably get us all together and talk maybe about how to connect KASI with some data and see what happens. Who knows? Maybe they can crunch some numbers for us and help us lovely people in the state of California.
I think we're all going to be study authors here coming up.
Woohoo! Just what I want to be. So, Bree, Sarah, Tim, and Cindy had to leave earlier. Thank you so much for being on. Hopefully we help spread the information, help people understand, and well, we'll see each other at some point during the playoffs or during league, I'm sure.
I'll see you in 6 weeks.
Thanks for the warning. I'll stay home that day. Sarah, thank you so much. Enjoy Sonoma. Wish I could be up there. I love that area. Fantastic.
Absolutely. It was a blast. Anytime you come up, let me know.
I will. And Bree, as always, it's so much better to see you than Tim. So thanks for being on.
Anytime.
You guys have a great day. Thanks a lot.
All right. See you.
Bye-bye. We hope you enjoyed this episode. Want to make sure you hear every episode? Remember to like, follow, and subscribe to our podcast. Don't forget to share our podcast with your colleagues, family, and friends. Your support will help more people find and enjoy our content. Wrap It Up Sports Medicine and More is directed by Eli Hallett. It is produced by Gabriel Hallett. Our theme music is by Coma Studios via Pixabay. The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are solely those of the contributors. Want to know more about us? Visit us at wrapituppodcast.com. That's with one P, wrapituppodcast.com. Wrap It Up Sports Medicine and More is a production of Hallett Consulting, LLC.